is this world coming to? What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. Thank you so kindly for joining us this morning in the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning with us, being a part of our listening audience. As a matter of fact, you have made this program the number one program on KLITB. The Situation Room is the number one program. We have more listeners listening to the Situation Room than any of the other programs. So we thank you for making us number one here. All right, we have a wonderful program scheduled for you today. Today, we'll be looking at marriage questions and answers. Marriage questions and answers. But before we answer the questions this morning, let me just give you some contact information. Let me give you some contact information just in case you have some marriage question or marriage question or a Bible question or a question that's pertaining to the Christian life, or even a question regarding our Sunday school, a question regarding church, or just a question that you need some biblical insight on regarding our world that we live in, and you just want some biblical insight, you can call them in at 972-257-3766, or you can email me at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. All right, we got that out the way. Now let me go ahead and get my Bible. Now, if you're somewhere where you can get your Bible, you can get your Bible as well. But if you're driving your car, you at work, then you may just have to write these scriptures down. Because, you know, whatever I tell you, I try to go to the Bible and get, see what God say about it. Because it's like I said in the introduction, it's not so much what I say that count or what somebody else say that count. Because you can get people's opinion, you know, a dime a dozen. I mean, anybody and everybody out there is ready to give you an opinion about what they think. This is what I think. I think this. I think, well, we're not so much interested and what man think. We want to know what God think. And the way you know about what's on God's mind, read your Bible. Because we used to have a Bible teacher here teaching in our kindergarten. And she would always tell the kids, you know what the Bible is? She would tell the kids, kids, do you know what the Bible is? The Bible is, when you open up the Bible, you're opening up the mind of God. And she would say, let's open up our Bible, because when we open up our Bibles, we're opening up the mind of God. So the Bible basically lets us know what's on God's mind. All right. And so when people have questions, then we need to go to the Bible and we'll see what's on God's mind. All right. We got a couple of questions this morning. Let me answer these questions here. Let's get the first question. My mate is battling with depression. How can I help? My mate is battling. Oh, it's a fight with depression. So her mate or his mate is fighting with depression. How can I help? Oh, I'm glad you want to help, because it's going to take your help to get your mate out of depression. Y'all, it's good that you are hanging in there with your mate. So I want to commend you for hanging in there with your mate, not bailing out in time of trouble, but hanging in there. And that's what a marriage is all about. You're supposed to stay in there, better or worse, sickness or in health, richer or poor. And see, this is a time of sickness. This is a time of sickness. And so I'm glad you're staying right there to help your mate. Well, you're asking how you can help. Well, it all depends on why your mate is depressed. Do you know why she or he is depressed? Is your mate depressed over the marriage problem? Is it y'all having marriage problem? Because depression is when your spirit is being pressed down. Your spirit is being pressed down. So is your mate depressed over the marriage problem? Is y'all having marriage problem? Because if your mate is depressed over marriage problem, then y'all going to have to work that out. You're going to have to go get some marriage counseling. Now, if your mate is depressed over the loss of a parent, a family member, your mate may need to get some grief counseling. You still need some counseling, but it's a different kind of counseling, some grief counseling. Or if your mate is depressed over the loss of a job, he or she may need some grief counseling, but a different kind of grief counseling, or some job counseling. Yeah, and probably may even be a little bit of both. Or if your mate is depressed since returning from the war, did your mate go to, Desert Storm or something like that, Afghanistan, and because a lot of people have returned from the war, and they are having, I forget what they call it, post-traumatic syndrome. They are having all kind of issues since they have been in that war. So did your mate go to the war? And because if your mate has went to the war, then they're going to need to get another kind of counseling. So it all depends on what triggered, what was the trigger of that depression is going to determine how you're going to fix the problem. You got to properly diagnose the problem. So if you're going to help, I would start by taking my mate to the throne of God. And I asked God, God, you know, if your mate won't show you, I would ask God to show me, you know, what's really happening. And I would keep lifting my mate up in prayer. So that's where I would start. I would start with prayer. Then secondly, if you have not taken your mate to the doctor, I would take my mate to the doctor. I would take, you know, a lot of times we as Christians, we don't want to use the doctors. But, you know, God give doctors that wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So God, he works through doctors. He worked through medicine. See, that's part of the blessing, living off blessings. See, God can either work a miracle in your life, either God expects you to live off blessings. Remember the children of Israel, when they was in the wilderness and they didn't have stores and stuff like that in the wilderness. Well, God fed them manna from heaven because there was no Walmarts, there was no Kroger's, there was no Winn-Dixie's. So God fed them in a supernatural way, manna from heaven. But then once God brought them into the promised land, then no more manna. Why? Because from that point on, they had all of these fruits and vegetables. They just lived off the blessings of the land. So that's part of the blessing. So sometimes we be asking God for a miracle, but God says, no, I want you to live off my blessings. I done blessed you with all these blessings out there. So use my blessings. And so doctors and medicine, that's just part of the blessings. And so don't be afraid to go see a doctor and get your mate checked out, because your mate may need some medication, and that's a blessing. That's a blessing. So don't be afraid to accept God's blessings by waiting on miracles. Blessings are just as good. Blessings are just as good. But, you know, be careful. Be careful, because some medication is too strong. So you may have to go back to your doctor several times to get the right doses or to get the right medicines. You know, some medicine is too strong, or some medicine is not strong enough, or may just have the wrong kind of medicine. So so watch it when you, you know, take them to the doctor and start getting them on medicine. You have to make sure that you get, you know, the right match for your mate. And, you know, I wouldn't be afraid, you know, to get my mate some professional counseling. I would try to get my mate some professional counseling, like I talked about earlier. And then I would have some of his friends, some of his best friends, to reach out to him, or to reach out to her. Now, not so much to try to counsel your mate, but to just try to support your mate and encourage your mate. Let your mate know that they are not in this battle by themselves. You know, they got some good friends that's coming along beside them. Now, you don't need them friends like Job had. Remember, Job lost everything that he had. He lost his children. All 10 of his children was killed in one day. He lost all his crops in one day. He lost his livestock all in one day. Then he had three friends to come there, and they start criticizing Job. Excuse me. They was criticizing Job, and they was telling Job, the reason that you're going through what you're going through is that you have sinned. Now, you don't need those kind of friends that's coming there and putting your mate down. You need somebody that's going to come there and encourage him and encourage her and, you know, lift them up. So be careful. If you know your friends got negative friends, then keep them negative friends away. You be the blocker. You block him from them negative friends. All right. So that's one way you can help make sure that you keep that negativism away from your mate. And then, you know, I would really try to comfort him with comforting foods. You know, there's all of us got our favorite food. And so I would try to comfort, you know, your mate with the favorite food and favorite TV show. You know, try to do something that your mate like to try to encourage them. And then I would try to get my mate to really pray. I would, because really your mate really need to talk about it. Look, because a lot of times that's what they do in counseling. A lot of times when you go there and just sit there and talk to that counselor for an hour, you just come out feeling a whole lot better. But the counselor basically hadn't done too much. It was just you just felt better because you was able to get all of that stuff bottled up in you. You was able to get that out of you. Yeah, because sometimes you feel like you ain't got a person in this world to go talk to. So I recommend that you go talk to God. Matter of fact, David was depressed. Let me go get that out of the Bible here. David in Psalms 42. Look here in Psalm 42. In Psalms 42, David talks about his depression. He talks about in Psalm 42, verse number 3, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" David said, "I was crying day and night." And he said, "My enemies was constantly vexing me, saying, okay, well, where's your God? You're doing bad. Why come your God won't help you? Where's your God?" And David says, "When I remember these things, I poured out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy days." David says, "When I was down, I started thinking about, you know, how I used to go to church and the good times that we had there, going to church, worshiping God, the joy and the praises. With the multitude praising God." David says, "I remember those things." And then verse 5, David says, here it is. This what let you know David was depressed. He said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I have yet praised him for the help of my countenance." And then David goes down, verse 7, he says, "Deep calling unto deep at the noise of the water spout. All thy ways and billows are gone over me." David says, "Look like I was just drowning. Just looked like I was drowning in my trouble." Verse 8, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and the prayer and my prayer unto God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemies?" David says, see, David is talking to God here. He's wondering, "God, look like you done forgot me." See, however you feel, brother or sister, you need to talk to God and share your deep, deep, deep feelings with God. And then David is saying, "Why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemies?" David says, you know, "I'm going around here mourning because of my enemies. As with the sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God?" See, that was bothering David. They was messing with them every day. They see David is down. David can't get back up. And they say, "Where's your God? Where's your God? Where's your God?" Now, that's messing with David's mind. And then David, verse number 11, says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God." David is trying to talk to himself, and he's asking himself, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Now, this is a farming term. Every shepherd knew what David was talking about when he says cast down. Cast down is when a sheep done got on his back and his feet is up in the air. And see, a sheep a lot of time can be so heavy that he can't roll over and get back on his feet. And that's a dangerous position, because when you're on your back like that, the wolves can come get you if you can't get back up. And so David is crying out to God, and he's saying, we need to hope in God. Because you remember David talked about in Psalm 23, the Lord was his shepherd, and he shall not want. And then he says the same thing here in Psalms 43. He says, judge me, O God, please my cause against my ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why hast thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into the holy hill, into the tabernacle. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceedingly joy. Yet upon the harp will I praise thee. Oh, God, my God. See how David is crying out to God? Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my continent and my God. David is trying to talk himself. He's talking to God, and he's trying to talk himself out of this depression. He's telling this depression, hope in God. We just need to turn to God. And that's what you need to do, my brother, sister. You need to turn to God. Hope thou in God. All right. So hopefully that helps you there. Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. Hope in God if you're depressed. All right. Last question here. I think I can get this one in. Oh, this is a tough one. I may have to continue this next week, but let me try, because this is dealing with a sex question. It says, our sex life has hit rock bottom. Our sex life have hit rock bottom. We haven't had sex in weeks. What can I do to restore our sex life? Oh, wow. Our sex life has hit rock bottom. We haven't had sex in weeks. What can I do to restore the sex life? Well, my question, as I always ask, of what happened to brought the sex to the stop? What happened to stop the sex life? Is your mate mad at you? I mean, what's going on? What's really happening there? Or is sex a painful experience because something is not right physically? Is that what's going on? Is something physically happening? Or is something emotionally happening? Did your mate come from a troubled past, and your mate haven't dealt with the hurt in the past? And so sex brings about, if your mate is reliving the past, a hurtful past. So find out what's the problem. Is it a physical problem? Is it an emotional problem? Is it a spiritual problem? A lot of times, these situations like this, when sex just all of a sudden, you're having fun, then all of a sudden sex stop, then that's a spiritual problem. See, most of the time, most of the time, it's a spiritual problem. See, a lot of marriages, people often play these power games in marriage, and women often use sex as a weapon, and men often use money as a weapon. So the ladies say, I ain't gonna give him what he want until I get what I want. And so the man often say, okay, well, I ain't gonna give her no money until I until the sex life get back on track. So a lot of time people, they use these power games, and so that needs to stop. Look over here at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You don't really need to stop having sex. There's one. Let me just turn over there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the first 5 verses. It says, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every man have her own husband. It's good if you can live the Christian life like Jesus did and John the Baptist, just be single and really focus on working for the Lord. But in order, most people don't have the gift of celibacy, so to avoid fornication, the Bible says you need to go on and get married. Then verse number 3 says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife has not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband has not power of his own body, but the wife. In other words, when you got married, you gave yourself away. You gave yourself to your husband. You gave yourself, man, away to your wife. And so she got papers on you. He got papers on you. You his property. You your husband property. You your wife property. Did you hear what I say, beloved? And so the Bible says, let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence. Do what you're supposed to do. Likewise also the wife unto her husband. They're gone and do those husband things, do those wife things. And one of the husband things and the wife thing is having sex on a regular basis. Verse 5 says, defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency. Did you see that, my beloved? Quit cheating one another. See, when you're not having sex on a regular basis, you cheating one another. Quit cheating your husband. Quit cheating your wife. And do what you're supposed to do. The only time you're supposed to stop having sex is when it's that time of the month, and then when there's a spiritual reason, when y'all are praying and fasting about something. When you praying and fasting about something, then y'all supposed to have come to some kind of agreement. Okay, we're not going to have sex this week because we're going to be fasting and praying. We're seeking God for something. So if y'all not fasting and praying together about a particular thing, then you should be having sex on a regular basis. Now, practice 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 through 5. And then the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, because a lot of time people be acting like children. Stop acting like children. The Bible says, Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. So put away the childish thing, because if not, Satan is waiting to come into that marriage and tear it apart, and you don't want Satan to come into your marriage and tear it apart. All right, that's it. Today in the Situation Room, hopefully something was said, something was done to help you on your Christian journey. All right, let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. Now get ready now, because I'm going to put on Miss June Hunt. She's a very good counselor, so she can take us a little bit further in the counseling part of the Situation Room. Then at 10 o'clock, that's 9 o'clock, that's time for a program called A Look in the Book. And then at 10 o'clock, that's Unshackled. And 11 o'clock, A Deeper Look in the Book. 12 o'clock, missed any of these programs, we begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.